The first reading, which will also serve as the sermon text this morning, from Numbers chapter 21. They set out from Mount Hor along the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became very impatient along the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Look, there is no food, there is no water, and we are disgusted by this worthless food." The Lord sent venomous snakes among the people, and the snakes bit the people. As a result, many people from Israel died. The people went to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed on behalf of the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a venomous snake and put it on a pole. If anyone who is bitten looks at it, he will live." Moses made a bronze snake and put it on the pole. If a snake had bitten anyone, if that person looked at the bronze snake, he lived. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts to see wonderful things in your teaching. Amen. Some things never change. If you've ever taken little children on a road trip, you know that. Really, it doesn't even have to be a road trip. It could be a 10-minute trip or a 3-day trip. But 10 minutes into that trip, they're going to ask the question, "Are we there yet?" That never changes. But there's some other things that don't change on the road trip. It's how easy it is to get impatient or to grumble or get irritable. And you know this if you've ever taken a wrong turn that's added a significant amount of time to your trip. You also know this grumbling if you've ever been on a long stretch of road and you really need a rest area and there's nothing. And then finally in the distance you see a gas station, and as you get close there's a sign that says no public restrooms. Some things never change. Now take that road trip and all those frustrations and all that impatience and multiply it not by 40 hours, not by 40 days, but by 40 years. And that's what the older generation of Israelites had in the first half of the book of Numbers. This was the generation that God had brought out of slavery in Egypt, shown them all those miracles, brought them through the Red Sea on dry ground, and he brought them all the way to the promised land, and they were ready to go in. And God said, "Send in some spies, scope out the land." And the spies came back and they said, "It's as good as advertised, a land flowing with milk and honey." But 10 of the spies said, "But we can't go in. They're too strong. There's giants there. The cities are too fortified. We'll never make it. Why did God bring us here? This is a wrong turn." What did they say? "God, why did you bring us out of Egypt just to kill us in the wilderness?" And so God punished them. He said, "Okay, fine. You've seen all my miracles. You should know better. You should trust me. But because you haven't, you don't get to go into the promised land. You're going to wander for 40 years in the wilderness, and the younger generation will go in. Everybody 20 years and up, you're going to die in the desert. 20 years and down, and those yet to be born, they'll get to go in." Of course, the older generation tried to change their mind. "Oh, no, just kidding. We'll trust you now." And they tried to go up, but they were defeated. And so they had to leave. Can you imagine the impatience, the grumbling, the irritation? 40 years in the wilderness, And it wasn't just the older generation that had to suffer, right? Everybody 20 years and younger, everybody born in those 40 years, they had to wander too. All because of the older generation, they had to be shepherds in the wilderness for 40 years. But now, it was almost over. As you turn to Numbers 21, you fast forward basically 40 years in the rearview mirror, and you can see it. Exit number one, Promised Land. The younger generation, they're back at exactly the spot where the older generation had been defeated before. The younger generation just had a victory, defeating people from the Promised Land. All they had to do was go north. Don't even turn. Just go straight. In 20 minutes, you'll be in the Promised Land. And then they set out from Mount Hor along the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. No, 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 no. No, not that way. You might not know your map of Israel, but that's the wrong way. They could have just walked in, and God says, go this way. They turn the exact opposite direction. They can't go through Edom. They have to go around it. Even if you were trying to drive into Israel today, this would be a wrong turn that added 7 hours to your trip. And when you're traveling, when you're walking with 2 million Israelites and all their possessions, this could add months. And it's not through a nice, beautiful land with lots of rest stops. It's through desert, dusty, dry, rocky, hot. And the Israelites, they snap. The people became very impatient along the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Look, there is no food, there is no water, and we are disgusted by this worthless food. They've had it. They're all staring at their bowl of manna-os in the morning, and they just can't put the spoon in. We can't take it anymore. 40 years we've been waiting, and now this. And so they start complaining, and they start grumbling, and they let it all out. There's no water. Even though God had miraculously been providing water for them for 40 years. There's no food. And they immediately show that's a lie by complaining about the food they do have. And this, we are disgusted by this worthless food. Even though they have a miracle on the ground every morning, enough food for every family to gather and eat every day, they look at that and what does it say? They're disgusted. This is the same word that the Egyptians felt when they looked at the Israelites and started to enslave them and try to eradicate them. They were disgusted and terrified by the Israelites. And now, God's people, they feel the same way about God's miracle, about God's miraculous blessing for them. They can't take it. And so how do they complain? It sounded familiar, didn't it? Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? The younger generation, the chosen generation, supposed to be so much better than the older generation. We're the ones who get to go into the Promised Land. Some things never change. They're no different. And that's what God wanted to show them. And that's why he made them take the wrong turn. And now, with a consequence for their grumbling, he would show this to them in vivid detail. You are just like the older generation. In other words, you need my mercy. You need to live by trust in me just as much. And this is how he shows them. The Lord sent venomous snakes among the people, and the snakes bit the people, As a result, many people from Israel died. They were so busy complaining about the cereal that they forgot just how much they needed God and just how much God was doing for them in everything. And so now God shows them what happens when he withdraws his protective hand just a little bit, just for a moment. All those poisonous snakes, those numerous deadly snakes in the desert, they're still there today that God had been holding at bay for 40 years. For 1 minute, he withdraws his hand. Withdraws his hand and lets the curse of sin, the curse of the serpent, Satan, come in a little bit more. And all of a sudden, all the complaining turns to screaming. You can almost hear the slither and the screams and the hiss and the coil and the snap. And all of a sudden, people start falling down, dying. What's God showing them? This is what's going on in your heart. Oh, Israelites. With your complaining, with your impatience, don't you see how much you don't need an earthly promised land? You don't need water. You don't need better manna. You need me. You need mercy. So do we. Some things never change. They had to wander for 40 years waiting for an earthly promised land. As we walk through life, the Bible talks about this, that we're kind of waiting for the true promised land, a heavenly city, a better home. And in this wandering, a lot of us have to wander even longer. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 more years in this life. And what can happen on the way? Impatience. When life seems to take a wrong turn. No, God, I wanted my marriage to be like this. And now it's hard. No, God, I wanted this diagnosis, not that diagnosis. My health's going the wrong way. No, God, I wanted to buy cereal for $2 instead of $4 this week. Big things, small things. Oh, it's easy to grumble. And a lot of the time, it's against blessings of God. What does God give us? Our daily bread, which involves everything we need for our bodily welfare, right? It's our bodies, it's our souls, eyes, ears, all our members, it's our friends, it's our family, it's our government. Incredible blessings from God. And those things sometimes are the source of our grumbling. Ugh! This house, this snow, this food, this family, this child. Blessings from God? Oh, we don't want those anymore? And then God gives us not just our daily bread, but the bread from heaven. Jesus himself, the Word of God. And it's his answer to everything. When life seems to take a wrong turn, we can even grumble at that. We're worried, we're afraid, we're struggling. And God says, here's another church service. Here's a sermon. Here's a pastor knocking at your door. Ugh. It's the last thing I need, God. Another service, another sermon. That's not helping. That's what's in here. And sometimes when God allows the consequences of sin in our lives, it comes out and we see it. And God wants us to see it because he needs us to know that the fangs of the serpent, Satan, are sinking into our hearts, making us ungrateful. He wants us to know that that never changes this side of heaven so that we can look to him for the other thing that never changes. Yes, whoever lives will sin, but whoever looks to him will live. That's what we see in the second half of this reading. Oh, the Israelites, yes, younger generation, you're learning. They cry out to God, we have sinned, save us, please. Yes, what a beautiful cry. Lord, have mercy. And what's the answer? The Lord said to Moses, make a venomous snake and put it on a pole. If anyone who is bitten looks at it, he will live. Moses made a bronze snake and put it on the pole. If a snake had bitten anyone, if that person looked at the bronze snake, he lived. As crazy as the wrong turn seemed that God led them on, even crazier is the solution, isn't it? They cry out to God, snakes! And God says, Moses, give them another snake. But this snake's a little different. Make a snake, but it's not like the ones on the ground. It's made out of bronze. It's made out of metal. In other words, it can't move. It can't hurt you. It has no venom. But take that snake and put it up on a pole. Put it up like a banner. And as crazy as that solution sounds, take the thing that's killing you and make that and look to death and it'll heal you. As crazy as that solution is, even crazier is that it works every time. If anyone looked to it, they lived. Why? Because when God promises something, it comes true. And when people trust in God's promises, they live. And that's exactly what happens here. About 20 years ago, the United States decided they were going to save everybody, and so they started this thing called the Truth Campaign. And it was meant to stop young people from starting smoking. And so they decided they were going to use all these impactful commercials to try to sway them. And one of these commercials has 1,200 young people marching through the streets of a deserted city. And they march up to this skyscraper that's supposed to symbolize tobacco companies or smoking or something. And in one moment in the commercial, all of these young people, poof, they drop down dead. And it zooms in, and it shows them, their eyes all still. And then right in the middle of these 1,200 corpses, one person is standing up with a sign that says, smoking kills 1,200 people a day. Ever think about taking a day off? You know how effective this commercial was? They did a big old study. They showed it around the United States. They did their best. And at best, just over maybe 1% of the young people who saw this commercial decided not to smoke. 1% effective. In Numbers 21, we have this commercial basically in reverse. But it's not 1% effective. It's 100% effective. Can you imagine the scene? You know, when I pictured this growing up, I always pictured Moses taking this snake, putting it up on a banner, and standing someplace and telling everybody to come look at it. But that's not necessarily what happened. It's a banner. You're meant to march with it. Can you picture Moses walking through the camp? 2 million people in danger of death. And he marches through with a snake on a pole and he says, the Lord says, look and live. Look and live. And 1,200 people or more who were dying pop up perfectly healthy, 100% healed. I'm alive. And can you see them running to tell all their families and friends, to tell everybody, come, look, and live. It works. I know it's crazy. Come, look, and live. And millions of Israelites brought back to life by a symbol of death connected to God's promise. It's amazing to imagine. But of course, you don't just have to imagine it. It's happening today. Look and live. This is why some churches have a procession at the start of their service with a crucifix, Jesus on the cross. They march in at the start of church and everybody stands and follows it as it goes in. What are they saying? Look and live. Look at what? Well, look at what the bronze serpent was always meant to point you to. Jesus told us in the gospel reading, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It seemed crazy back then. Look at the snake and live. It seems crazy now. Oh, are you a sinner condemned to die? How about this? Look at the sinner condemned to die on the pole of the cross. What? No, that's my problem. Exactly. Look at it. Because that sinner is condemned to die for you. In your place, for your sin. Look at him, he's dying. Look at death. Because that death takes away death, takes away its sting, so you can live. Look at that person who seemed to have been defeated by the snake, Satan, and see that he crushed the serpent's head when it looked like he had won. Look and live. That's how we live. It's what the younger generation learned. It's what we're learning every day. When the grumbling comes, the impatience with God and his blessings, look and live. I walk by faith. When the guilt comes, when the serpent slithers, look and live. That venom is gone. You are 100% healed. When you cry out to God for mercy, yes, some things never change. Whenever you cry out to him, he is just as impatient to answer your prayer, to say, look and live. Whoever trusts me, whoever believes in me, will have, does have eternal life. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.